All right, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul, my brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and where you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, out of Christ and for his sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and then he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And then we said that the phrase gospel is from Isaiah, Isaiah 52 verse 7, Isaiah 53, 2 to 5, yeah, Isaiah 61, and all of that, showing a promise being renewed, a promise being reinforced to be done, and we said the context of scripture will remain, of course, the context of the four gospels will be the Old Testament, which is the first five books, and context of Deuteronomy will be Numbers, Leviticus, Exodus, historically speaking, and the statutes that were also given. And the context of Exodus will be Genesis. A promise was made. And within the promise is the grace of God. When everybody preaches the grace of God, when you have the charis of God, it's anyone who teaches grace, who mentions it in the epistles, is referring to Genesis. So Genesis is the concept of grace, where God just talks to somebody. You understand? God just talks to someone. And many of them didn't have an intermediary. So God talks to them. And then they had that personal interaction. And they were just chosen. These days, you have to be careful of that word chosen, you know. But, why are you laughing? I mean, eklego. All right. So, according to the scriptures, he died, and then he rose again, which would inform how the student ought to read it thoroughly. And we said that the very end of the book is the answer. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, verse 25, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Begin at Moses and all the prophets, explaining them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. And then in 44, please take note of 44. I actually think that 44, while 25 and 27 enables you to reread the book of Luke, and maybe the synoptic, 44 enables you to read the Old Testament. I forgot to say that. 44 takes you to the four Gospels account. So that you will now go back and say, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. These are the words that I said to you. So you just have to intertextually be looking at it. So everything Jesus says, everything he does, must be found in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Notice the statement I made. Everything. So when Paul says, according to the scriptures there, it means you read them together with the Old Testament. Like we said, intertextually. So we have said again that Luke is a defender of Paul's gospel. Is one of the closest to Paul, just like Timothy. We said yesterday that Paul says, Luke is with me. A few academic facts. It has a setting of a Greco-Roman setting, Greek-Roman setting in the presentation, the language. It must have been written between AD 55 and AD 90, arguably 20, 30 years into Paul's ministry. And I said yesterday, it's more of an historical piece than biographical. It deals more with the event itself. And that's why we said he writes more of the person-to-person interactions more than just the relationship with the words that were spoken. We said that you see him in Paul's epistles, Colossians 4:14, Philemon 24, 2 Timothy 4:11. So he was very close to Paul, no doubt. And that is why every scholar that I know of and respect do agree that 1 Corinthians 11:23, when Paul was quoting the issue, the night that Jesus was betrayed, that you see that's a Lucan, that's how it's referred, Luke's kind of account. It's just what it is. Okay, so Luke 1:1. Let's run through two chapters, and then I mean my run through literally, right? Or is it a figure of speech? For as much as many have taken the hand to set forth in order the declaration of those things which are surely believed among us, even as he delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, he seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou art instructed. So no doubt, Acts 1:1 and Luke 1:1 are similar. Acts 1:1 to 4, pardon me, where he writes to Theophilus, who said, therefore, one is the follow-up of the other, volume 2. The word most excellent Theophilus is used for, the word most excellent is used for a noble, somebody in high rank in society. And then the word Theophilus, interestingly, means lover of God. So verse 1 to 4 is a discipleship model where you are able to rehearse the things that you have learned. So when he says, I have taken in hand to set forth in order, uses the word anastasoma here, A-N-A-T-A-S-S-O-M-A-I, which is to refer to an editor's work. That is, I've taken it upon myself to rewrite this story well. Basically, that's what he's saying. And then he said a declaration, diegesis in the Greek, D-I-E-G-S-I-S, from the word deigoma, D-I-E-G-O-M-A-I, used 8 times for descriptions. It's used for graphic descriptions. That's why it's very descriptive. Luke 8:39, the word deigoma is used. Acts 8:33, Acts 9:27, Acts 12:17, and Hebrews 11:32. So verse 2 says, and he mentions that certain people give him the information, delivered unto them, paradidomi, eyewitnesses, autoptes, A-U-T-O-P-T-E-S. And then I think we need to borrow a bit of what he meant. Just look at the book of Acts and use of the word witnesses. We're witness of this. Acts 1, 21-22 means that he took it from those, the apostles. Acts 2, witnesses of these things, of whom we are all witnesses. Let me just read that one. Acts 2:31. 32, sorry, we're all witnesses. Acts 3:15, Acts 4, verse 20, and Acts 4:33, Acts 5:32, and of course, Acts 10:39 and 41. So in other words, he's saying from those who are apostles, and also those who were present, the actors. So he went into not just Mark telling him what happened, he goes to even the characters that were involved. Then the ministers of the word, he uses the word huperetes, H-U-P-E-R-E-T-E-S, used for officers. Luke 4:20 in the temple, John 19:6 in the temple, and very importantly used in Acts 26:16 for Paul, I've appointed thee as a minister, that's Paul. 1 Corinthians 4:1 is required of a steward a man be found faithful. We are all ministers, ministers of the mysteries of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Now, a key word he uses in verse 3, having perfect understanding, is a discipleship term, parakolotheo, P-A-R-A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O, is used for a disciple. That means, I'm not just talking gists, not an idea. 1 Timothy 4:6, Paul said that about Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:10. Then the word in order shows you that this is a formatted rendering. Kathesis is the word there. K-A-T-H-E-X-E-S. You see it in Acts 11:4, Acts 18:23. Then he says he was talking to Theophilus, things that you have been instructed, and that is usually used for something that was already said to you. Katecho, K-A-T-E-C-H-E-O, Acts 18:25, by the same person, written about Apollos, Acts 21:21 and 24, and Romans 2:18. Also 1 Corinthians 14:19 is for oral teaching, and Galatians 6:6, he that is taught, communicate to him that teacheth. So we just run through. From verse 5, there was in certain days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the house of Abia. Wow. His wife also was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments, ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because the Elizabeth was barren. That's from Abraham, and they are both old. Abraham and Sarah is in view, right? Is that in view? It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. Then he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. And Zacharias saw him, was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy life, thy prayer is heard, for thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Then, verse 14, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. We said it's a synoptic of joy. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink water, neither wine nor strong drink. But he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That means the way he is born. Not that he'll be speaking in tongues. Away from his mother's womb, he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the power and the spirit of Elijah. Elijah there is personified. To turn, figure of speech, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this, for I am an old man, and my wife was sucking in years. You know, somebody that has read Genesis should not have said this. I'm not trying to justify the angel, but I think, how would you say that kind of thing? He said, Abraham is my father. How did he become your father? He came to because he also had a child at an old age. So he said, the angel answered, said, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show you these glad tidings. But behold, thou shalt be dumb. Well, and not be able to speak unto the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which were fulfilled in their season. Shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah, and he marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Of course, if you're a Jew and the priest is taking long, you start moving back because you don't know what's going on. They have a lot of superstitious belief that God has already sacrificed, and before you know, a fire will just be coming your direction. So they probably felt he was dead. Then he came out and could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he tried his own house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and he hid herself 5 months, saying, now, you know that there's a lot between the two verses. Okay, she just conceived in the house. So he believed after all. Oh. And thus the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my... You know, that means that God expects you to use common sense. If you are told that your wife will conceive, you don't stay in the temple for long. You have to go home. When you stay in the temple, you know, she is just dumb, you got. In the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee. So that's 6 months apart. So it's agreed that maybe they were... So you have, and hid herself 5 months, saying, so in the sixth month, that means John the Baptist is about 6 months older, and the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And people still say this for some damsels today. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind that man of salutation this would be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over... I hope you understand the throne of his father David. Do you understand? There are images of the Old Testament. I've explained that to you before. David was never the king. Does it make sense now? The throne that was promised David. Then he says, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto him, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? There's a huge difference in what they said. There's a huge difference. How can these things be, seeing that I know not a man? That one said, because I'm old. What does that make sense? I mean, I've read scripture. How can you say because I'm old? Seeing that I know not a man is logical. Do you understand? That's logical. The other one is not logical. It is unbelief. Okay, scripturally speaking now. So he says that the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And because thy cousin, Elizabeth, that's quite an old cousin. And also, did you observe that? Because she was, the term virgin is used for between the ages of, that age, between 9 and 12. Some have said 13, 14. That's how Mary, the mother of God, how old she was. She was a young mother of God. And our cousin, how many of our cousins like that, that they can successfully born you? I will give birth to you. And he says, in the 6 months with her, she was called barren. For God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, notice that when she conceived, that's Elizabeth, I don't think she had a Facebook account. She hid herself. Okay? So, Mary knew by revelation. I know some guys will have gotten their tummy. I said, oh, she'll be rubbing it. As you do in your days. You understand? Whether you put it on Facebook or not, the child will be born. With God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. It said that it's about a 3 days journey. And that's why they didn't see themselves in 6 months. You know. And entered into, I'm sure that they had WhatsApp there. I've done WhatsApp call. Let's go. And then said, I'm pregnant now. They came to me. I said, this is. I entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth, and it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spoke out with a loud voice, blessed thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this is to me, the mother of my Lord shall come to me. And lo, this is an account that is peculiar to Luke. You know, we said yesterday that he was pro-women too, just like Jesus was. And you know, in that day, when you write about women like this, you're looking for trouble. I highlighted that Jesus was pro-women. And God is too, in that sense. So, he says, as soon as the voice of that salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy, because she knew who John was. So this reaction was supernatural. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. That means, she basically, in this prophecy, just said, look, this confirms everything that you have heard from the angel. Then my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he had regarded low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, even till now. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his hand. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Can you see it in prophecy? Can you see what the rich received in prophecy? He had hoped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Okay. Now Elizabeth's full time came, and she delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. So she actually stayed indoors. Someone say why? I'm going to ask her. And it came to pass on the 8th day, she came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah. People still do that today. They wait for 8 days, you know. And it's not John the Baptist, not a Jew. Some people do 40 days. Amen. I had the pleasure of naming a child when she was born and not doing naming ceremony. And they said, when do we name the child? I said, the child had a name before she was born. And she's been, so what do you now call the child? They say, eat. Oh, bring O. Of course, we can follow those things. It's fine. But I think have the child, name the child. And feed the child. I remember one fellow gave birth to a child in an American hospital, the wife, sorry, and I've been told that, shouldn't we say the wife gave birth? They gave birth, I don't understand that. So anyway, then they said, what's the child's name? He said, no, in our town, it's after 8 days. He just left him. And he just gave the child a name. How can I say, Say, we write the certificate immediately. Should we now put waiting for approval? So I was there, Pastor, are you now saying exactly? Name your child and what are you waiting for? Okay, culture, maybe. So I would say, okay, culture. 8 days after, wait and... Why did you... I just did like this now. Where were we? Verse 59, okay. And it came to pass on the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. That is normal. They normally name after the father. And then his mother said, no, she shall be called John. And he said unto her, this is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. That, what kind of name is that? And they made signs to the father that he would have called, having called, you know, very funny people. He said, you're a woman, keep quiet. Okay? What is it? He asked for your writing, because the angel has not set him free then. I wrote saying, his name is John, and he marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately. Can you imagine? And his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And fear came upon all that dwelt about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. They have this thing about that, their country. They noise things abroad. No wonder she kept it. Because if you don't keep it, they will noise it abroad. Very interesting people. You know. And verse 56, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord is with him. So there was something spectacular about his birth too. And the father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began, that he should be saved from our, we should save from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Now, you don't realize that when you sing that song, I'm no longer slave, something from enemies. You have chosen, you have from my enemies. Is that it? No, there's a phrase like that. You delivered me. Is that it? For my enemies. So I ask you, name them. So it's from the enemy. That makes more Bible sense. Obviously, from the prophecy of Zechariah, you can see that everybody has situations creeping into their prophecy. We're going to see Mary's own. Of course, she's poor. And they're oppressed. He's going to bring the mighty down. Say amen, amen. There's tongues in it. But you have to listen very well so that you will know the content of what she's really saying. And then, verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies might serve him without fear. You know, at that point you're looking at Pilate. You don't know that the enemies includes the priests. No, just joking. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life, and thou child shall be the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high had visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing to us. Let's see a couple of narratives in there. Of course, when he describes them as righteous and have done the will of God in verse 6, you know, just Genesis 6, 9, Noah is in mind. Abraham, Genesis 17, and then Job 1:1. Of course, usually in Israel, when they say someone is childless, it has social implications. Sometimes it means that nobody will take care of her and all of that. So they paint a picture of Abraham and Sarah again in the background. 1 Timothy 5:4-8, you know, stuff like that. Then verse 8-11, where you have just incense offerings, Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 to 8. Now, like I said yesterday, nobody wrote about angels and the synoptic like Luke. So you have the angel communication, which is biblical, that is before major births. Genesis 16, 11, Genesis 17, 19, and Isaiah 7, 14. That's, we have all that in the background. Then the instructions given about John the Baptist, verse, strong wine, no drink, similar to Samson, in Judges 13, verse 4 to 5 and 7, and the instructions for the Nazarites, Numbers 6, 3 to 4. Then, of course, the Malachi 4, shall go before his face, 1 to 5, the Micah 7, 5 to 6. Then verse 18, the question he asked, that, how would I know this? Interestingly, Abraham did ask something similar. Genesis 18:8, Genesis 17:17. Gideon also did. Judges 6:17, Judges 6:36 to 40, Judges 7, verse 10 to 11. Then in verse 19, what the angel did to him. Let's first of all look at the name. There are only two angels that have been named in scripture, and you and I would do well to stick with that. And not, I think there's no Uriel. And somebody says Makanil. That's very good. Daniel 8:16, Daniel 9:21, Gabriel. The Michael is also mentioned. Daniel 10:13, Daniel 10:21, and Daniel 12:1. So those are the two angels we know. Do we have Daniels today? They should tell us more about angels. I want to bring Michael too today. And Gabriel. So there are angels. Anybody that's Gabriel here? My dad was Michael. That's why I named my daughter Michelle. Oh, you didn't know? That's the reason. Someone thought it was Michelle Obama. For where now? Why? So verse 22. The vision he had, I was supposed to highlight something, where he was, you know, the sign of not speaking. You find, let me show you that on Ezekiel 24, verse 27. It was a sign of fulfillment of a prophecy. Ezekiel 24, verse 27. In that day that thy mouth shall be opened, which is escaped, and thou shalt speak, and be no more dumb, it shall be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So that was basically fulfilled. Ezekiel 33, verse 22. That Lord was upon me, and he opened my mouth till I came, and till he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. So it's a prophetic sign. I don't think you like it. Or do you? Genesis 19:11, Daniel 10:15, where people's mouths are closed. Let me just show you that. This one they didn't see, sorry. And in Daniel 10, mouth is short. Okay, look at Elizabeth's praise. I'm going to do another, that's verse 24 and 25. Where she conceives something similar there about Anna. Oftentimes you find both Sarah, Genesis 21, no, Anna, 1 Samuel 2, verse 1 to 11, and somewhere, Genesis 30, verse 23, God has taken away my reproach, said by Rachel. It's verbatim quote here, where she said the same thing. God has taken away my reproach. Luke 1:25 and 1 Samuel, Anna. Then, quickly. Notice there's a contrast between Mary and Zechariah. Somehow, one is old, I mentioned, one is young, one is a virgin, one is not. Then, the fear not, very similar to Joshua 1:9. Don't be afraid. Judges 6:23, Jeremiah 1:8, Daniel 10:12. Having favor with God was said to Noah too. Genesis 6:8, Genesis 19:6, Abraham and Sarah. Was that Abraham and Sarah? I think that's that's Genesis 19:16. Sorry, 1 minute, please. Remove that Genesis 19. I think you just stick to Genesis 6:8, Exodus 33:13. All right. I think we've explored some of this. Yeah, is where he's called the Son of the Highest, the Lord God. Isaiah 9:7, 2 Samuel 7:12-16. That's the prophecy about David. Daniel 2:44, Daniel 2:43, Daniel 6:26, Daniel 7:14. All right, so let's see something. Look at verse 46 to 47. There's something similar there. Let me just run through that. With Anna. Just write this down. 1 Samuel 2:10. First Samuel 2:10, let me just give you the similarity. First Samuel 2:10, when Luke 1:46-55, Anna also speaks about God exalting the lowly. First Samuel 2:1, First Samuel 4:5. 1 Samuel 4:8. And she speaks of the same thing. That's Mary now. Luke 1:48, Luke 1:52-53. Then rejoicing in his salvation. 1 Samuel 2:1, Luke 1:47. There's none holy like God. 1 Samuel 2:2, Luke 1:49, holy is his name. You have exalted the humble. You have brought low the proud. 1 Samuel 2:3-9. Luke 1:51-53. Then the issue of the poor and the rich. 1 Samuel 2:7-8. Luke 1:53. Then you have, you know, fed the hungry, made them full. 1 Samuel 2:5. Luke 1:53. Then also the poor, displacing those who are rich and high mighty. 1 Samuel 2:8. Luke 1:52. And then personal deliverance to a collective one. 1 Samuel 2:10. And Luke 1:56. No, 50. Luke 1:50. Now let's see another comparison between Zechariah and Mary. I want you to open there. Yeah. Verse 12, Zechariah was troubled. Verse 29, Mary was troubled. Verse 13, be not afraid. Verse 30, be not afraid. Verse 13, the miracle was mentioned. Verse 30, or verse 31, the miracle was equally mentioned. 30, 31. Verse 13, the name of the child was given. Verse 31, the name of the child was given Jesus. John, Jesus. Verse 15, filled with the Spirit. Verse 15, he shall be great. Verse 32, Jesus too shall be great. Verse 15, is filled with the Spirit. Verse 35, is conceived of the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 to 17, his work was spelled out, his ministry. And equally, verse 32, the ministry of Jesus was spelled out. Verse 18, he asked the question, And of course, verse 34, Mary equally asks the question. Verse 19 to 20, an explanation was given with a sign of dumbness. It's muted. But in Mary's case, verse, from 38 through to 38, she was commended for faith. And also, verse 45, Elizabeth commended her for she believed. Blessed is she that believed. Then equally, verse 80, the child grew, that's John, and Luke 24, also Jesus grew. Both verse 40 and 52. So, that's where a comparison and a contrast there. And of course, the celebration, and I mentioned that the children are usually named after their parents. In this instance, that didn't happen. Have we looked at Ezekiel 24 on the sign of being dumb, then open after? Yeah. Ezekiel 33 verse 22 as well. Then the prophecy. Then the prophecy of redemption in verse 67. Yeah. Through to the end. Just have that Exodus 6:6. A new Exodus. Exodus 15:13. Deuteronomy 7 verse 8, a new Exodus. Then the issue of on of salvation, which is in verse 69, is Psalm 18 verse 2. Then look at verse 70, where he says he has remembered in 72 his holy covenant. That's echoes of Exodus. Exodus 2:24, Exodus 6:5, Psalm 106 verse 45, Psalm 111 verse 5. Then he also mentioned the oath that he made to Abraham. Genesis 26 verse 3, Genesis 50 verse 24, Exodus 6, 8. And the issue of salvation. So that'd be an allusion to the Old Testament. Let's quickly look at chapter 2. And on to the end. And it came to pass in those days that they went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this, when they say all the world, they mean the provinces under him. That's what he means. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. You can see the scholastic detail he's giving to it. And he usually mentions Roman Gentile authorities. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city, and Joseph also went up unto Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So he went back home. To do a census and then to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. You know, he doesn't talk about the issue of being pregnant and then the shame and all that. That is Joseph's account. He just goes straight into the woman's account here. And she brought forth a firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So when there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying. So he's very detailed about the conception, supernatural, spectacular. And then glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, good will towards men. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said unto another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And oftentimes the Christmas story, that the one I acted, both the wise men and the shepherds came to the manger because they were mixed up. One was, it was about two, the other one when he was born. Shepherds came when he was born, then the wise men when he was about 2 years old. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying Can you see it again? They like talking abroad. Which was told them concerning this child, and all that heard it wondered what these things were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Wasn't called Joseph, was the son of Joseph, but was given name just like John. And when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to the law, which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him. Can you see, he's giving you all the spectacular supernatural details. And he was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit of the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Watch this, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Can you see, Luke is deliberate here. And the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through my own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and was of a great age, and had lived 107 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 4 score and 4 years, who departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings, prayers, night and day. And she came in, now look at the contrast, there was another old woman who had no child, this one was equally with no child, but serving God. So just, it's balancing the story very well for you to see it. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. For when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city in Nazareth. I'll leave the rest later. Let's just look at a few things to take note of. It's been argued that Mary wasn't taxable. She just basically just followed the husband. Correct. Notice in chapter verse 10 and 12 where he mentions all people. 10, which shall be to all people. Notice that is both Jews and Gentiles. You can see that his following of Paul made him make research to see that there's nothing Paul is teaching that Jesus did not teach. All the peoples. That Jesus, this accompanied the birth of Jesus. Now, swaddling clothes is not the one we use now. Swaddling clothes is in the Jewish, this is used to make a child's, shall I say, body shape proper. So it's like a therapeutic, shall I call it, is it orthopedic now? Work. So it's used to stabilize the child. It's not oja. Is it oja? No, it's not oja. It's a Jewish custom of, you know, how a child grows. The way they make a child to grow and be stable, you know, in bones and all of that. So that's what swaddling clothes are. Then it says, it mentions peace on earth, Isaiah 9:6. Then it mentions to all people. And you know that that's something that is prominent in Luke's rendering. Acts 1:8, uttermost part of the earth. Again, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. Luke 24:47, all nations. Then look at verse 19. She kept the sayings in her heart. Who do you think did that in scripture? That should be Jacob, right? Who heard the dreams of his son and took note of it but didn't say anything. So that's, again, an allusion somewhere. Of course, disciples do that. Psalm 119 verse 11. Proverbs 6:21. Okay, then notice that his naming ceremony, which is the dedication, is the one done for the poor. Leviticus 17, is it 17:8? Let me check that. That is, it shows that he was from a poor family. I mean, if you didn't know that before, the prophecy of Mary should have told you that Jesus was born into a poor family. Can I have somebody say, he didn't remain like that? You know, my brother was saying, he didn't remain like that, hallelujah. But when he was leaving the world, it was a millennia. So, Leviticus 12:8, which is the purification, dedication of when they are poor parents, they bring in turtle doves. So it was from a poor family. And this accounts for why the wise men had to bring them gifts. Because they wouldn't have been able to go anywhere. If they wanted to flee to Egypt, they would have been caught at the gate. You know, because they would be waiting for BRT. And from there they would say, so they like giving them air tickets and say, go to the airport now. And they say, what if we take a bus to Accra first? Okay? Go to the airport now. In fact, get a private jet so that you can leave immediately. Herod has his guys at immigration and all of that. So that's why the wise men came to help them out. So, I want to take note of what Simeon said. My eyes have seen your salvation. That takes us back to that Isaiah 40 verse 3 to 5 we read earlier. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Exodus 14 verse 13. Isaiah 52 verse 10. So the salvation is a person. Then we now find the woman who is a widow, she served God, you know, in that state, etc. That is, a prophetess. Again, I like that. Did you notice that aside Zechariah, maybe the shepherds, the prominent people that spoke about Jesus, and this, he balances it well. You have Mary, you have Elizabeth, then you now have Anna the prophetess. So you can definitely say that within Luke's context of Luke 1 and 2, you have three people who prophesied, and they were women. You have Zechariah, no doubt. Joseph didn't prophesy. Not in Matthew himself. You know. Mary, I know it was one that also brought up Martha as a minister in training. He was the one that brought up Martha as a minister in training. Martha and Mary being the disciples to be trained. It was the one that also highlighted Luke 8, the women that were around Jesus who were his disciples being trained for ministry. John just says what they were saying, come and raise my brother from the dead. You know, but Luke was the one that like, no, they were ministers in training. They sat at his feet. So he highlights the women and their role in ministry. I must say again that there is a quiet. Somebody had asked me this. I remember when I taught the series, Why Troubles the Woman? I think that was the first teacher, or the woman I know, one of the two, in 1998. Somebody asked me, very, but sir, I saw the argument that it's very clear that a woman can function in the ministry, all that and all that. Then threw something at me. I said, but the truth is, I mean, Jesus did not pick any woman as his apostle. And there was a low figure. I said, well, God is not responsible for that. I mean, if they ask you, in Genesis 3, who sinned? You say Adam and Eve. He said yes. If I, for anything, some twisters will say Eve was the one who, he said, is the woman that brought us into trouble. Something that foolish. But I said, well, you look at it, this is not a creation of God in whatsoever means. If you look at the leadership of Israel, you had Miriam, you had Moses, you had Aaron. You know, and all of that. And there was enough evidence that Jesus had women involved in the work of the ministry. And of course, Paul. You know, Paul also highlighted women a lot. Whether you look at Romans 16, then Luke highlighted Priscilla and Aquila. He gave it an highlight so that you see it. Now, again, you know, we cannot divorce the culture of their day from how the church functioned. Till today, I know people who are uncomfortable with women pastors. If I'm very, very uncomfortable with women pastors. Very, very uncomfortable with women pastors. And they will say, and let me even confess. Maybe I should confess. Up till a point, I never could agree that a woman should pastor a church. Up to a point. And, of course, you have your 1 Timothy 3 and 1 Timothy 2 We had to battle that and look at it. Okay, what if, you know, a lot of things. And the reason why I had to interpret scriptures that way was because, hey, you have things like Dr. Mrs. Why would you put Mrs. after Doctor? Why not Dr. Mr.? Is he doctor for a man? No, but in our head, you will have Reverend Mrs. So the Reverend is for the man. Then when a woman comes along by error or by sovereignty, you add Mrs. to it. So that means you are somehow schooled to think that you're a first woman preacher, first woman this, first woman. So we are even schooled to see that it fits. And in fact, when they say, who came first in your class? And they say, my name is Fumi. And they say, a woman slapped you. Whoa! I say, you know, one day, how many of you know Cynthia Rothrock? You know Cynthia Rothrock? Cynthia Rothrock was a martial artist though. So I told somebody, I said, this is a woman now, beating up men. So all this, a woman slapped you, you didn't do this one. And I wonder, we're now Three Crowns building in Ibadan. That's how this guy was, these two guys were harassing this lady. He got down at the bus stop. He beat heaven, Hades, hell out of the three of them. She beat. A woman, and then a woman said, she just beat the hell out of you. She beat. Oh my God. So we are schooled that way. You think because you're a man, a woman can beat you. Says who? If not many people that can beat you, they will beat you and you will run. Hey, I'm telling you, strong people. I had a friend like that, she's told me the Lord, very hefty. Not hefty, but, I mean, there was a guy like that who was rejoicing in their meeting. So they had just done this marble pulpit. And the guy was rejoicing, all the guys that don't give. I tell you, this is how I've been teaching this truth. This particular, I've been teaching this this way, this is what I always say. Please pray for me. I always add this part. Because she was the one that said it, not me. She was the one that told me that, imagine those, that kind of guy, he doesn't give up. That's how he was rejoicing, and was moving towards the marble pulpit. You know, she went and carried the guy and threw him. Because I know she's very strong, so she was a taekwondo person too. You know, I were praying, so I just used spiritual authority. No. Do the word. You don't say if I, you don't hang your head, you know, I respect you, sir, you know. So, you know, you are schooled to think like that. So, you know, I said the woman can pastor. The woman can be everything, but she can't, you know, just, and if you grew up in CAC churches, even some Aladura churches as well, even some of these mainline denominations, even some Pentecostals, they just do it out of agiri, they can't explain it. You know, just agiri that, what can we know? I sat up with somebody, I said, what is the role of woman in ministry? He couldn't say Bible. He said, out of Catherine Kuma. What of, I said, Bible. Not Catherine Kuma. But are we not saying it's not God? Can you see the reasoning? I said, are we not saying it's not God? No, I said, scripture. So you could see it. So when that person asked me that question, I just couldn't really answer the question then. That was, I think, 97 or 8. I said, I can't explain it. I just gave an answer like that, but it was a fact that I just couldn't explain why women ministry was not prevalent in scripture. The priesthood, judges was minimal, but they were not chosen as kings until today. You can't say you're a princess. That's how you're going to remain. You can't say, in England, they can pick queen. If you come to some tribes in Nigeria and you say queen of what? Say that's the wife of the king. So it's like that. But now you're seated in Christ. Far above, right? Have you found that they were called kings and priests, not kings and queens? Something like that. So, today when you say son of God, when we say and daughters, okay, fine. You can see the things affecting you. We are daughters, sons and daughters of God. You know, it's affecting you. For you believe brethren is men. So you say brethren and sisters. I'm not joking. Say brethren and sisters. Bro, Bruce, trust, true. Let's move. So, obviously, he presents a woman who was devoted to the Lord. Two things I thought you would see. Simeon came to the temple. Anna was there. What's Luke trying to say? Leave him alone. You know, he presents the women as almost looking more dedicated. Aside from Zachariah, Joseph is made a very, very passive character in this story. So let's go to the last part of today. Hope you are learning something. Yeah. And so, verse 39. And they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. They returned unto Galilee to do their own, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Who would have told him this? It's Mary. Okay, that he grew, filled with wisdom and insight, And the wisdom he's referring to there is the wisdom of the word. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Of course, you know what that is now. That happened also in Acts 2, Passover, Pentecost. You come from different parts, they celebrated at Jerusalem. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. You know, I told you that there's something called the Bar Mitzvah. B-A-R-M-I-T-Z-V-A-H. Some say it's 12. 12, 13. Where it's said that you are already an adult. Just like the virgin was between 12 and 14 as well. So I said to you yesterday, I don't forget that when you are under 12, you are with the mom. When you are over 12, you are with the dad. And so he's right there in the temple, and they give us the picture. Let's quickly read that. 43, and when they had fulfilled the days that they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. Because already it's a family feast, Passover is celebrated with family, so I'm sure the cousins were there. Of course, John doesn't go to places like this. John doesn't eat and drink. John is in the wilderness. So John was, I'm sure, maybe John also had brothers. I'm not sure about that, but because James and Jesus' brothers, sisters, their cousins and stuff were there. So they didn't see him. Then verse 45, and when they had returned, they found him not, and they returned back again to Jerusalem. That means they walked 3-4 days journey back, and they came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. It is highlighted to show that she was actually panicking. She was panicking. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? And that means what my father does. And they understood not what saying that I spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. That's twice now. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Whoever said the favor of God and man is Mary. Alright? We could see that he had the favor of God and man. Of course, he was first accepted, then he was what? Rejected. Do you understand that? Uh-huh. So, now the question and answers is a rabbinical format. I've witnessed it myself physically, where the way they taught was that they knew the students were learning by the questions they asked. That's why Jesus also had his disciples asking questions. But I want us to look at the word here. Of course, it's among teachers. That's close. That's heavy. And the way he was hearing, I will give you the Greek word, A-K-O-U-O-U-N-T-A, akounta, from the word akuo, A-K-O-U-O, it means he was paying attention. I need you to understand this detail, that Jesus was somebody who paid attention. I'm sure he wasn't drawing Mickey Mouse like some of you probably are doing now, or moving his pen around the notes. He was there for days, and he was paying attention. So, in other words, Luke is like Paul here. He's giving us the details of spiritual growth. That when you say he grew, this is how he grew. So if you get to Luke 4:18, and he found the place where it was written, it meant that he had grown in wisdom to understand scriptures. The second word there is that he was asking questions. Eperotao. E-P-E-R-O-T-A-O. It's not a stupid question. Who was Cain's wife? It's a word used to interrogate. Where you interrogate. Interrogate among scriptures. he was asking scriptures with scriptures. So, have you noticed that Luke paints a narrative for us that from the beginning to the end, Jesus dealt with scriptures? From 12. Then in verse 47, they were astonished at his understanding. Soonnesses. Cleverness. Mark 12:33. Paul using for those in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 1:19. For himself also is understanding, that's Paul. Ephesians 3:4. Spiritual understanding, part of Paul's prayers for the saints. Colossians 1:9. And Colossians 2:2 and 2 Timothy 2:7. Is understanding and is answers. The word answers there is the word apokrisis. A-P-O-K-R-I-S-I-S. It is used for a sense of judgment. He had a sense of judgment. The way he judged scriptures. They were astonished at his sense of judgment. You know, it's Matthew that showed us this in Matthew 7. When he was teaching on Matthew. Luke said, no, it didn't just occur in Matthew 7. This is as a child. That is when he matured as a man. That's the misverse. When he came into adulthood. He didn't come into adulthood based on just mere human experience. He came into adulthood on an understanding of scriptures. He has a synesis of scripture, and he has a sense of judgment. Luke 20 verse 26. They marveled at his answer. That is Jesus, when he responded about Caesar's coin. They marveled at his answer. Now that word is usually from a conversation, from the Greek word apokrinomai, A-P-O-K-R-I-N-O-M-A-I. In other words, it was in a conversation. The kind of contributions he made them marvel. This guy, this young boy, I mean, is a unique disciple. Of course, like I said, at that age, naturally, people are adopted as disciples already. They are learning. That's why most of his own disciples were assumed to be the age of 14, 15, 17, 18. I think the eldest, I'm told, is from all research so far, I've not debunked it, I've not had contrary evidence, is Peter between the age of 21 and 24. But others were 14, 15, 16. In fact, some were still with their mothers. It's believed that James and John were maybe 12, 13, something like that. Not sure about that, but they were definitely teenagers, majority of them. So no doubt there's something Luke is saying. His interrogation of scriptures stands out from the age of 12 and then to Luke 24, 25 to 27 and 44 through to 49. So you have, I'll close here, that this person who writes this Luke has an undercurrent of the Pauline revelation. He brings in the spectacular about the birth of Jesus. Most of what he's saying here is understood, you know, after he had believed, and then he's able to go back and format the story very well to be a gospel. So just like the other synoptic writers, this is not a mere narrative. It's doctrinal in value, only that it is used in experiences. That is, the experiences of Jesus being used as a format of doctrine. Amen. Praise the Lord.